This episode of the West Side Discussion is sponsored by Mando Discware, Birdie Fuel Coffee, and Putt Confidently. Use code WSD10 to save 10%. Welcome back to the West Side Discussion podcast, the first and only podcast dedicated to West Side discs. My name is Jay. This is episode 6. Today I'm joined by Team West Side members and husband and wife, Jesse and Madison Tomino. Jesse, Madison.
Hello. What's going on, Jay?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
Doing well.
Thanks so much for coming on. I want to get right into it. I've been following you guys now this year. Very excited about all the stuff you guys have been doing with disc golf. Before we get into that, though, I do want to pause for a second and say thank you to Putt Confidently for sponsoring this episode with their Champ Cap. If you haven't seen me practicing with the Champ Cap on the West Side Discussion Instagram, check it out. It's a brand new putting tool. It has four circles around it that you fit over your practice basket. The Champ Cap helps you improve your putting game, and this week we're going to be giving one away on Instagram. So make sure you're following at West Side Discussion and at Putt Confidently for that. I will have links in the show notes.
That's pretty cool. Everyone needs putting help.
Yeah, it's a great tool. So yeah, make sure you're checking that out. And so Madison, Jesse, thanks so much for coming on. I want to ask first, which came first, the relationship or disc golf?
Well, for me, definitely the relationship. I think Jesse might have started playing a bit before we met, but he's definitely the one that got me into it.
How long have you both been playing disc golf?
Just over 10 years.
Yeah, I think I did my first tournament in 2013 and had been playing, probably started that same year.
How long did it take from playing to getting sponsored?
I'll let Jesse answer that. He keeps track of this better than I do.
I think Madison got her first sponsorship in 2015. Some local guys were sponsored by Prodigy at that point, and they were looking for a lady in the area that was kind of up and coming, and reached out to her and put her on the street team at that time.
Oh, perfect. And then what about you, Jesse? Who was your first sponsor?
I was also sponsored by Prodigy. A few years after that, Madison had moved her way up through the ambassador team into the tournament team, and they reached out and offered me a spot on the street team for my first year of MP40.
And you guys were on, you were with them, and then Westside just recently, or anyone in between?
Nobody in between. We switched to Westside this year at the beginning of 2021, and it has been a great switch.
Because we have some other people on here who, you know, have transferred over. What was the transition like for you guys, switching out your bags, brand new discs?
Oh, that was what I was most nervous about switching, was having to get an entire new bag and learn entire new discs. But it's actually been really great. You know, I think every time you kind of come up with something, come up with a struggle in disc golf, it makes you a better player. And especially with Trilogy, because we can throw Dynamic, we can throw Latitude, and we can throw Westside. So there's just so many choices. It's been really, the biggest struggle has been narrowing down what you want in each slot. But it's been great.
I love the discs that I'm throwing now. I feel like the drivers I'm throwing are the best I've ever had in my bag. But it definitely was overwhelming at first, just, I don't know, more than 100 molds between the three companies to choose from. So I just kind of focused on Westside and filled as many of those slots as I could from there before I branched out. But there are a lot of choices.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, coming from Prodigy, which I will say has like the most easy to understand naming convention, you know, D1, D2, D3, D4, you know, oh, I need a mid-range. Do I want an M1 or an M4? So having to switch from that over to all three brands, learning the names, learning the different types of plastic, that has been, it's been a lot, but it's a good problem to have.
So what's that process like when you're switching over and you're trying to figure out what discs do you get? Do they send you a bunch of different discs? Do you just get a few discs at a time and try those out?
Well, luckily I'm married to a disc golf hoarder. So we have, we had a lot on hand already. And then, you know, we have friends and other sponsored players in the area that would let us test out what they have. And then, yeah, the company was really great in sending out stuff and letting us try it as well.
Yeah, we owe a giant thank you to 10 or 15 people in the area here that just made a ton of stuff available for us to try and to have. And then Gabe, obviously, the team manager with Westside and Dynamic, sent us a giant box of stuff straight from the factory. it was just really nice that he knew that we would need that, and that kind of special attention was really outstanding.
Especially in, you know, this was January 2021, coming out of 2020 with the huge plastic shortage, you know, trying to navigate what we wanted to throw amidst all of these supply issues was even more difficult than it would be in a normal year.
Right. Yeah, I can imagine. So was it those friends that in the area that had the discs, were they the ones that got you connected with Westside, or how did you get connected with Westside discs?
One friend in particular knew that we were kind of in the market for a different sponsor this year, and somebody that I play with all the time, he's sponsored by Latitude 64, Jason Pinkle, just thought that Westside would be a really good fit for us. And after doing a little research, and, you know, I obviously knew about the harp and a few other discs that are kind of pumped up by the Westside community and people throw all the time, it seemed like it could be a good fit, and Madison approved, so we reached out and were able to secure a sponsorship with them.
Now, in the last episode, we were talking with Gabe, and he kind of gave us some information about how sponsorship works from that end, but I'd like to hear from you two, being players and coming from a previous sponsor. What was that kind of interview process like?
Well, I think we're a little unique in that we run a lot of events. So I think what makes us appealing to a company is how many events we run, what good promoters we are, and all the plastic that we go through distributing at these tournaments. It's not just, oh, we're really good disc golfers, so you should sponsor us. It's you know, a pretty mutually beneficial relationship, because we are doing so many events. So just having that conversation with them, and like, you know, we're also gonna be really big customers for you guys. We're not just sponsored players looking for what we can get out of the company. We end up giving a lot back too, just being great customers.
And Madison's a really good disc golfer too, so that helps.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt. So you brought up the events, and I do want to get into that. Before we do, I want to pause once more and say thank you to Mando Discware for continued sponsorship of this show. You really got to check out their lineup of apparel, shirts, hats, joggers, and hoodies. It's cooling off almost everywhere, so you need to stay warm out on the course. The clothes are comfortable, and they allow you to send it with style. So check them out, mandodiscware.com. Use code WSD10 at checkout to save 10%. That's WSD10. And again, Jesse and Madison, for being guests on the podcast this week, I want to send you all out a free item of your choice.
Oh, wow. How exciting.
Thank you.
Yep, absolutely. We'll take care of that after the show. So you mentioned events, running events. So what kind of events do you run, and how many are you running?
You want to go first, hon? You can talk about yours. I'll talk about mine.
Yeah. We run a lot of tournaments, almost entirely sanctioned events. Although we did run one yesterday that was unsanctioned with a costume contest at lunch and a glow round after dark. But that's not our usual weekend. We do probably 15 sanctioned events a year, C tiers, B tiers. And then next year, in conjunction with our local disc golf club, Stumptown, we're going to take over two big local tournaments in the Rose City Open and the Beaver State Fling.
Oh, wow.
So that's pretty exciting. And then, you know, I am really trying to focus on growing the women's disc golf in the Portland area. So I ran a women's global event this year, and then ran an Oregon Women's State Championship B tier, which was a women's only B tier, which is really fun to be able to have the participation for that. I also do a couple of leagues for women. I host like a Facebook page that encourages casual meetups and, you know, just getting every skill level involved and making it a really welcoming community for everybody. So we're hoping to do that again next year. I've been super thrilled at like how many women we're getting to show up. It's just like unprecedented. So that's been my focus this past year, and I'm hoping that we can continue to grow that next year.
So when you're running these tournaments, I just have a couple questions about tournaments. For myself, that's looking to, you know, run some more, and maybe some other people with some questions. How do you go about to get sponsors for tournaments? Now, it might be different for you being sponsored by Westside, but how can someone else go about getting someone to sponsor their tournament?
Well, if you want to run a tournament and do custom discs for players packs and stuff like that, Westside, Dynamic, they've got great options through the website that are open to anybody. And you can also reach out to have them potentially sponsor in addition to just the players pack items and stuff like that. But as far as getting title sponsors and people to really contribute the added cash for our events when we want to run a B tier or something a little more sizable, at registration, sometimes we'll sell T signs to sponsors. So you've got at least 18 right there, $25, $30, $50 a piece, whatever it takes to get to your added cash. And then sometimes we'll reach out to title sponsors, like for Madison's Oregon Women's State Championship, I think Dr. Brendan Garland was a sponsor, Madison?
Mm-hmm. Oregon Sports and Family Chiropractic, they stepped up. So sometimes, you know, a company, disc golf affiliated or not, will just kind of see what you're doing. And if you have a relationship with them, you can reach out. Some people send form emails. I'm not really big on that. But I wanted to go back and say, you know, Jesse touched on the whole sponsorship. And one way that we see it incentivized here in the PNW is early registration holds, because our tournaments are filling up, you know. So if you buy this $20 hole sponsor, then you get early registration for the event, and that guarantees your spot. So that makes it a little bit more enticing. And, you know, not just us, but a lot of different event directors have a lot of success doing that. And it's just, you know, 18 available, because there are PDGA rules about early registration and stuff like that. But usually if you stick to the 18, you fall within the rules. So it's just a good incentive.
You mentioned like discs for your tournament and the players pack. You guys just recently did one. You had the Stag, which I got this week. Loving it. Went in my bag right away. Did you pick the Stag, or was that the only one available? Like, how does that work getting the discs?
So that was actually a little bit more special than just doing a custom stamp on a disc, which if you just do a custom stamp on a disc, you can download the order form and there's a list of what's available. But for this, we did a run ourselves. So we were able to pick the plastic that we wanted, the mold that we wanted. We were consulted on the colors and the colors of the stamps. But we had to order a huge amount of them. And it took a long time to make it happen, because it actually has to, they have to make them, get the materials and make them in Sweden and ship them over. So this was a big deal for us. And we chose the Stag because it's just a disc that we both throw and I really gravitated to as soon as we switched to Westside. It is definitely my favorite disc in my bag. I love throwing fairway drivers, and it's just a perfect workable fairway driver through all the trees that we play in up here in the Northwest. And they're hard to come by. So I wanted to get a ton of them for myself. And we just were able to get a really great artist to do the artwork. And they've been really popular in the whole West Side community so far.
Yeah, I'm loving it. It's a great disc. Do you have any more available?
Oh, yeah.
How can people get those?
I've been posting on the Westside fan page as well as the official Trilogy marketplace. I haven't taken it outside of Facebook yet. We didn't build a website for this release since it's just one disc, but we are thinking down the road, if we keep doing this, it'd be a whole lot easier to just have a link that we can post for everything. But anybody is welcome to message me on Facebook and I will hook them up with some Stags.
All right, perfect. I'll have that information in the show notes as well. So you've done quite a bit of tournaments. What are some things you've learned being a TD?
Oh, man. People will complain about everything. Nobody reads the players' notes or emails. And you can't please everybody. That's all the negative, okay? But it's actually also really fun and really rewarding. I love throwing events. I love getting to pick the format. I love getting to pick the layout of the courses. You know, I don't know. There's just a lot of little stuff that you learn, you know, card sizes, spacing, grouping, stuff like that. What do you think, Jess?
Yeah. And on the negative side that you touched on, it's a really minuscule percentage. You can never please everyone, but you can please 95% of everyone. And the positive feedback we get is pretty overwhelming. It's, you know, we run into people on the course when we're playing a casual round and they say, hey, thank you for such and such an event. And I'm excited about the next one coming up. So it's really gratifying. But yeah, I think just knowing the player experience makes it a lot easier to TD. We have played a ton of disc golf tournaments in the last 7 or 8 years, and we've just seen all the things the TDs do right and the TDs do wrong. So for us, I think the most important thing is just constantly communicating everything to the players. And even if they don't read all the emails, at least they've had the opportunity to know all the hole notes, all the OB notes. Man, live scoring makes everything so much easier because you can have all of that information in front of them while they're playing the round. And just being organized. You know, we're both pretty organized people that are responsive to emails. And so we try and head off any problems in advance. We've got a big checklist of stuff that we bring to every tournament and a bin of emergency stuff that travels with us in case you need flags or ribbons or extra scorecards or anything. So just being on top of it, knowing how to work disc golf scene and how to set yourself up to make it easy. That's kind of been the key for us so far.
And knowing the PDGA rules, number one, I think playing a lot of tournaments as a player. And then number two, knowing the rules, or at least knowing how to look up the rules if you don't know them yourself. Now, the PDGA did just come out with a new TD directing hotline, which I think would be really helpful so that now there is somebody to call if you have a question. But just knowing how to look up a rule, you know, UDisc has a great searchable rule book. That's what I use because you just have to plug in a keyword and it'll come up. Just knowing how to handle situations and knowing what calls will follow the rules, I think it's really important.
Because there's always some weird situation that you haven't seen before and you've got to figure out, you know, how somebody should have played it. And as long as the players play provisionals and give you the options on how to make it right after the round, it's normally something you can figure out if you're willing to, like Madison said, do the work and look it up and make sure that what you think is right is right.
Oh, it's my favorite thing. I mean, how many events have we run and how many have we played in? And every single time there's like a rules question that I still don't know the answer to. It's just such a dynamic sport that stuff comes up that nobody could ever think of, and then you get to figure it out, and I just love it.
Madison's really, really into rules. She studies the rule book and knows it top to bottom better than anyone I know, and it's very helpful to have around.
I'm the same way, so I'm right there with you. Before we continue, I want to pause one last time and say thank you to Birdie Fuel Coffee for sponsoring this episode. Birdie Fuel is a great way to enjoy a delicious cup of coffee while also supporting a player. You can buy some coffee and support Chris Clemens, Kristen Tatar, Eric and Tina Oakley, Eric McCabe, and others. So if you like disc golf and coffee, check out their offerings at birdiefuelcoffee.com. Pick up a bag based on taste or your favorite player. You cannot go wrong. And when you order, use WSD10 to save 10%. That's WSD10. So Madison, you're the PDGA State Coordinator for Oregon. What does a state coordinator do?
So a state coordinator is a volunteer that the PDGA relies on to manage the tournament calendar within a state. So for everything below an A tier, there are mileage restrictions between events. So basically somebody will reach out and say, hey, I would like to throw a B tier in Albany, Oregon on this date. And I will look at the calendar and see if there's anything else going on and whether or not it violates the mileage restrictions, and then give my approval or disapproval. And yeah, I mean, that's the gist of the job. And then I think most state coordinators above that are also a resource for the community as far as rules, questions about running tournaments, stuff like that.
How long have you been the PDGA state coordinator?
This is my first year. So I just started at the beginning of 2021, and then my current term goes through 2022.
Were you elected? Do you just volunteer and apply? How does that work?
It is elected, yeah. So you have to turn in an application to the PDGA, and then everybody in your state votes, and then you get it or you don't.
Since you've been doing that this year, what have you learned? What have you learned from that, either about tournaments or about the PDGA?
Well, so I feel like 2021 has been explosive for disc golf. Just looking at Oregon's history, we are running exponentially more tournaments in this state this year than ever before. And I feel like that's probably true across the United States, just because the interest in disc golf and tournament golf is growing, which is fantastic. So yeah, I mean, I've just learned a lot of people want to run events, a lot of people want to play events, and a lot of people want a resource that they can talk to if they have a question about an event or a rule.
Perfect. So what is your off season going to look like?
It's interesting. I'm not sure we have an off season. Yeah. What is that? Maybe January?
Maybe. For a couple of weeks. So how many more tournaments do you have the rest of this year?
We're running one. I think right now we have two on the calendar with a possibility for a third. And then I'm running an unsanctioned one at the end of the month. And then Jesse's signed up to play one more. And he may or may not play our own events. It depends whether or not we play our own events, because our number one priority is running a good event. So if we feel like we can juggle our family schedule and the player schedule, then we might be able to play. So that one, those decisions are always kind of the week of, just to see how things go. But I know we're at least running two, maybe three. And Jesse's probably playing two, maybe three. And then I was just looking, and in 2021, I've played 27 events. And wouldn't it be nice to get around 30? I don't know.
Yeah, perfect round number there. Well, I think you can do it. Just throw a couple more, right? Then you got it. So what are your future goals for disc golf? What do you want to accomplish?
You can go first, Jess.
Oh, that's a great question. I think my focus for this coming year is going to be reestablishing the Beaver State Fling after it's been on hiatus for the last 2 years. It's coming back onto the tour as a DGPT Silver Series event. And I think we just want to do absolutely everything we can to demonstrate that it's worthy of that, and probably worthy of being an Elite Series event the year after. It's the biggest tournament of the Pacific Northwest, and it's got a 22 year history of being that big of an event. So it's a huge responsibility, and one that's going to take a lot of my focus for the year.
Yeah, I'm really excited that Jesse is stepping into that. I think it'll be really fun, and we're going to be able to put on a great event. For me next year, you know, I want to travel to everything that's on the West Coast. We're still waiting to see the Silver Series and the A-tier schedule, but I'm hoping to hit all of those. I would love to travel further for maybe one or two. We'll see how COVID is. We'll see, you know, our child starts school next September. So that kind of is in the back of my head. I don't know. And then I want to keep growing the women's scene. I want more women's only tournaments. I want bigger women's only tournaments. I want leagues. I want more female TDs. So we'll see.
Well, thanks again for coming on. Is there anything else you'd want to add or plug before we're done?
Just like to thank the entire Westside Disc Golf community. I mean, the welcome from the beginning of the year until now has just been amazing. Not only did our friends and local people help us out with discs, but when we joined the team, I had people reach out to me through Facebook that we didn't know, saying, "Hey man, I see you're on the team. Would you like to try any of these? Let me send you some discs." And I've got, you know, discs that are still in my bag from one particular guy that sent me a beautiful spin-dyed World and Harp. And it's just been a really, really great group of people to get to know and to talk about Frisbees with.
100%. Everybody local and, you know, the brief moments we were out on tour, everybody has been so nice. I mean, Erica has those fantastic hybrid swords. She has some Pacific Northwest roots, so we've known each other a long time. And it's been so fun to get to be her teammate. Everybody has just been phenomenal. And everybody knows so much about the disc, which is so fun to talk about and so fun to connect over that. It's just been really great.
All right. Well, thanks again for coming on. Thank you so much for listening. This is the West Side Discussion Podcast. I want to thank Jesse and Madison again for coming on the show. And thank you to our sponsors, Putt Confidently, Mando Discware, and Birdie Fuel Coffee. The theme song is What Would You Be Like by Akira the Don. We'll continue the discussion next time.